Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kiwa.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been.
Hello.
Hi there, Mickey.
Hi there, Sarah.
How are you today?
Good.
I switched on there.
Yeah. You really did. You came
online.
The
dead eyed, and then suddenly I was in.
Yeah, really good.
Good.
We're recording this on a tube strike, so we've all smashed it.
We've absolutely smashed.
We've smashed it. That we all got here.
Just being here is a W.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is a what?
I got it.
Yeah.
That's what the W stands for.
It's a what?
What you been up to? Tell me your news. Got any canoes? I don't know. Me and Lucas were at a gig on Saturday, was it?
Yeah.
And then we were standing outside and someone went, "Is this your husband?"
No way.
I forgot about that.
What? Lucas and I both agreed that the other one should be more insulted.
No way. You would make a beautiful couple, but
it would be so creepy.
But had you said at any point that you were married?
No, we were just standing there.
And it is like, it's part of it's part of the thing that happens a lot. And I don't know if you get this, because maybe this is some non-binary privilege, but the girl part of me always gets, people just assume that my husband or boyfriend is somewhere near. And usually that it's someone who's also on the gig.
Yeah.
Even though I never mentioned that my boyfriend is a comedian, people will just be like, the MC is your boyfriend, another person on the gig is your boyfriend.
You look like you've been escorted here.
Yeah.
Is the vibe.
He must be within arm's reach.
Yeah, he must be within arm's reach. So then it was like, I was just chatting to, and I'd just done this bit about like how I would love to call Patrick my husband.
Mm.
And then we were just standing outside, and then this guy came up and was like, is this your husband? And then we were both laughing, and then Lucas was like, well, no. And then he went to the guy who was standing next to Lucas and went, is this your husband? I was just like,
there's got to be a husband here.
I was just like, why do you think he's anywhere in the vicinity?
You want me to call your husband for you? Are you lost?
Yeah, and I said
you
this,
do look married, I think.
I just said this to Patrick.
You give off, like, a married vibe.
Do you think?
Yeah.
what is it about me?
Yeah, you look kept.
You look kept. Yeah. I said this to Patrick and like a while ago, because I got in a bit of trouble once for getting quite insulted that someone had said, "Is this your boyfriend?"
Hmm.
And because of how often people say it, but the person, I was like, you think that's my boyfriend? And the person I said that about was quite insulted. But I was like, oh, it wasn't about you. It wasn't like, is this, do you think this?
I have standards.
I can do it. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like that at all. It was my annoyance by the fact that I get this so often that people think it must be nearby.
It must be.
But I said close. This to Patrick, and since then he said he's noticed this with other female comics that there was a girl on the lineup of a gig he was emceeing, and afterwards someone came up to her, and Patrick was just nearby and pointed at Patrick and said, "Is that your boyfriend?" Like, it's just, and I've heard other girls talk about it. It like happens a lot.
That's wild. I don't get that at all. But no. I think obviously.
Nor do any of the guys get it. Yeah. Like, none of the guys get like, is that one girl on the lineup your girlfriend by chance?
He didn't ask me, is this your wife?
No.
Who's taking you home tonight?
Yeah,
who's
taking you home?
That's kind of the vibe. When I did my show in Nottingham before Christmas, a bunch of people I knew came along, and my friend came, and she's like one of my oldest friends. We used to live next door to each other when we were little.
Aww.
And she and her mum lived in the house next door to me and my family. And so she and her mum came to my show.
Such a long
description
of your neighbour.
She and her mum lived there. It was just, the two of them lived there. So I was very close with both her and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep going.
I'm explaining this really awkwardly, like I've never met a person in my life.
Yeah. Or never have had a neighbour.
Yeah. You know how neighbours work. There's a house and then it's next. Anyway. So they were both there, and I was chatting to her mum after the show. I hadn't seen her in so long. Bearing in mind, like, her mum is like, I think she's 10 years younger than my mum, so she's probably like late 50s.
Yeah.
And this this audience member came over and was like, oh, I really enjoyed the show, thanks very much. And then just gestured to Rachel and was like, is this your partner? And we were just completely horrified. Like, the two of us were like, no! No, she was like, I've known you since you were 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not, no. And she went back to, put her hands in the air, like, not, nothing to do with me, this. It was very, very funny. We did laugh about it.
That's funny.
I sometimes get that where, like,
just the nearest,
people
the nearest
and work
girl.
Out like which woman in the room I'm dating, but I don't think that is like a misogyny thing. I think it's like an intrigue of like, is your girlfriend here? I had an audience member at a work in progress the other day heckle me with saying, I thought you'd talk more about your girlfriend in this show, and I was like, well, you thought wrong. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Did you not tell the cabbage story?
I did tell it, because I did do the cabbage story on stage last night, and I think I laughed more than anyone else.
Did you start it with, let me tell you the story about
cabbage?
I'm going
to tell you a story about cabbage.
That's insane. Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what it is. I do think it's misogyny.
Yeah, I think so. I think it must be.
And if it's not, then what do I have to play?
Should we bring in a guest?
Yeah, let's bring in a guest.
Oh, very excited to have our guest this week.
Yeah.
The incredible Olga Koch is joining us in the studio. What can we say about Olga? Incredible comedian.
Incredible comedian.
Actor, writer, radio show host.
She does it all.
She does it all.
And she does it well.
She does it very well. She's very talented.
Yeah.
Lovely to have her here today. Let's bring her in.
Let's bring her in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Friend.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode.
Hey, Olga.
Hi.
Have you been?
I'm so excited to be here.
It's really nice to see you here. We've picked the worst day to podcast.
Worst day. We've made you come on a tube strike day.
You've made me come.
Yes. We've made you come. We'll cut there.
And for that, I will be forever.
Yeah, yeah, we got your rider before. Yeah.
Okay. On the worst day, we've made you come. Oh, horrible.
Gonna,
so sorry.
Every guest. Oh, man. Who's going to take this one? God, Jamali last week. But I did it.
Yeah. Even though there should be like a very basic structure for like our preferences, it's like no.
We
like
it's a road.
So it's very nice to see you. How have you been?
Fine, good.
Good, good stuff. This is a podcast about life-changing moments. Are you a dweller? Do you dwell on the past?
So it's really interesting because I love the podcast. I love the concept. I love the premise. But I would say one of my most controversial opinions in like philosophies in life is that regrets aren't real. So I just don't believe they exist.
What?
So this is going to be an interesting for me because I'm going to have to fabricate regrets.
You don't regret anything.
It's not that I don't regret anything. It's just that, and I feel like I'm not the first person to say this, but I think it's because of self-preservation, your brain can't let you just be sad about something, so you will just reverse engineer thinking that it was like a good thing in the end. I was like, it made me the woman I am today. And it's like, did you have to cheat on your husband?
Oh, but I have first-hand experience, and I can tell you, your brain can let you just be sad about something forever and ever and ever.
Maybe then it's just me.
No. I am with you.
I like re-narrativize something to be like, actually, that wasn't actually a good thing.
Yeah, I think this is like indeed a self-preservation. I was thinking about this the other day because I was thinking about like in the context of something I was writing about that I had this I skipped a grade in primary school. We've talked about that before, and then it's a huge brag. It's my only brag as well.
She won't stop talking about it.
I peaked at 11. I was thinking about this in the context of my parents had given me that choice. It was not, no one pressured me. They were like, you can decide whether or not you want to do that. You can stay with your friends. It's absolutely not a problem. And then I chose to do it. And then it was horrible for years and years and years and years because I just had no friends. I got so bullied. And then my brain will be like, but I would have never met my friend Shadi.
There you go.
At 15, if I'd not done this at 10. But it was like, yeah, but that was 5 horrible years. But then, you know, your brain's just but no, the one silver
lining. You got a little treat at the end.
You got a little treat at the end. But indeed, I just think like that's just what you have to think that way.
Yeah.
Out of
no regrets, they don't work.
That's incredible thinking. So, but I mean, but that I just feel like you... There's got to be something fucked up you've done.
Oh, yeah, sure. 100%.
But you just take ownership of everything?
It's not that I even, like, I think maybe I should have some regrets. But I just think that...
we'll find them today.
The way my brain works, it will be like, you can't change anything.
That's a really healthy philosophy. But does anything make you cringe? Like, do you look back and go, let me try and I'll get something out of it. You must have those moments where you're like, oh, I could have operated that a bit better.
What are you willing to do to my psyche in the name of content?
Oh, yeah, I swear to fucking God, I'm going to break you today.
So much.
Yeah. Mental health has never been worse post-podcast.
But the views.
Yeah, the views.
Yeah.
Look in, look down the lens, please. Do you have like a near-miss moment that you think about often?
So this is one of my best stories, I'll say.
Yes.
I will say it's a three-parter.
What do we owe the pleasure? It's
a three-parter.
It's a three-parter. I will say that the third part, I'm going to tell you. I think we're going to have to edit it out. But if anyone listens to this and wants to hear it, I will tell them in person or send them a voice.
Ooh!
Can we put it on our Patreon?
Maybe. Oh, I'll tell you and then maybe we can like retell it in a way that is respectful. Cause
okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because it's twists.
Oh, okay.
Turns.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
My heart's beating.
Yeah.
Okay. So... When I was in high school, I was very good friends with a girl called Barbie. Full name Barbara.
Barbie.
Any relation?
Is she like a beautiful blonde?
No.
Not even.
Why? No, she was beautiful. She just wasn't blonde. Can you imagine Barbie's an uggo?
She was hideous, not... socially.
No, very,
and
very...
that's my one regret.
Yeah.
Very, very...
being friends with her.
I was cut once, it. You can cut it.
I was once friends with an uggo. That's just not me.
Barbie is a beautiful, beautiful woman. At the time, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I also was a girl. Mm-hmm. So then Barbie was a year older than me. We were friends in high school, and then we both went to universities in America. And I went to New York University, which is a university in the middle of a city. So it's not your classic American college experience. There's no like hacky sack. There's no fraternities, sororities, none of that, right?
Aww.
She went to a place called...
No hacky sack.
No hacky sack, goddammit. She went to Northwestern University, which is a university outside of Chicago that is that classic sort of Greek column vibe, kegs, snapback hats. And so because she was having this really traditional university experience, I would visit her quite frequently to have that hit, to have that... Van Wilder National Lampoon experience. Mm-hmm. So every now and then I'll go for a long weekend. I'll get my hit of like Bud Light, Bud Light in a frat house, and then come back to the city.
She was in a sorority as well.
So no, she was not. But Greek life and fraternities and sororities were huge at Northwestern University. Still are.
Okay.
And twice a year, what happens, as if I remember correctly, is they will recruit new people into sororities and fraternities. And those new people, called pledges, will have to go through hazing rituals. Yeah. And the hazing rituals are horrific, okay? So, like, for sororities, they're horrible. Like, they will strip the girls naked, and, like, the sisters, the members of the sorority who are already part of it, will go around with Sharpie markers, and they will, like, mark everything that's wrong with the new pledges and be like, fat thighs, ugly nose. Like, it's horrid. It's like they're constantly legislation being proposed to ban sororities and fraternities. There's constantly deaths because like people like drown or overdrink. Like it's really, really bad.
Yeah. Holy fucking
it's bad.
Shit. Choppy.
So
it's not safe.
It's not safe. So
it's hard to get home. That's my takeaway.
But you're perfect, so what do you have to worry
about? I think
about?
You need to be I think you need to you know, get a little bit of a hard edge for the rest of the story because we've only just started that. I think
I'm
it's going to get
the
worse.
The permanent marker bit. Oh, God, that's like two showers, I think.
I happen to visit during the time where fraternities and sororities are recruiting new people. It's not. Don't worry. I mean, worry.
I'm so worried. Oh,
worry a little.
Oh, God, did they get you?
So Barbie gets a phone call from one of her friends who's already a member of a fraternity. So he's like, he's the one conducting the hazing rituals. And he goes, we need girls. Do you want to come participate in this hazing rituals? I am 19 years old. She's 19 or 20. We're like, we want to participate in this hazing ritual. Say no more. Say less. We're there. So we show up to the
We're girls.
We show up to the frat house. And he doesn't give us many details. He just ushers us into a room. And in the room, there is a row of chairs. And there's other girls sitting on these chairs. So we sit on the chairs as well. And so we sit in a row of chairs. I think you...
I'm really worried. Already, everything about this has been horrible. And you've said that part three we might have to cut out. So I'm just like, I don't even... This is only part one. I'm freaking out.
So we're sitting in a row of chairs.
Yeah.
I realize this is a podcast, so my hand gestures aren't helping.
Yeah, but I think our listeners know what a row of chairs looks like. Oh,
but the row of chairs...
They're thick, but they'll get that.
But it's not like a human centipede train of facing someone's back. You're facing outward together, like at a concert.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm picturing, what's the game called where you take a chair away, everyone has to walk around it, and then you take a chair... And when the music stops, you have to.
But that's a circle.
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs.
So you're picturing the wrong thing.
Really couldn't.
She's constantly.
No, musical chairs is chairs in a row, isn't it?
No.
It's in a circle.
It's in a circle. Does it just become a row as the game progresses?
I guess one chair is a row in and of itself.
Yeah. There's what makes a row? Come on.
No. I need you to get a harder edge, and I need you to be to smarten up.
Okay. She says that every episode. All right, okay, sorry. So a row of chairs. I love, I was like, our listeners, oh, they're thick, but they'll get it. And then I'm like, I'm picturing the wrong thing.
You're picturing us.
You represent our listeners.
Okay, so we're sitting outwards looking at a curtain that's been drawn in the middle of the room. Okay. And then we all sit down, we're looking at the curtain, and a bunch of new pledges, so the boys who are not yet part of this fraternity but desperately want to be, are ushered in, and they're just wearing underwear and blindfolds. And they are ushered behind the curtain, but they have no idea what the room looks like. They don't know if there's a curtain. They don't know there's girls because we're completely quiet. And so once they are lined up behind the curtain, the brother who is part of a fraternity already, he's conducting the hazing ritual, goes, drop him. And so they drop their underwear, and then he signals to us to start laughing. So the second they show their penises, we need to go, ha, 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 ha. And we do.
Oh.
So they are blindfolded. Is everybody following what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm with you.
You're laughing at dicks.
Yeah.
But they're behind the curtain. We don't see them.
Oh.
So then what happens?
So I don't understand.
Okay, do you want
no,
me to
I'm with you now. Okay. You can't see the dicks because they think you can see the dicks.
Because they're blindfolded.
Because they're blindfolded.
And they're hearing laughter.
And they're hearing laughter and they think the laughter's about their dicks.
Exactly.
I'm so with you.
So then the older brother is like, you can put the underwear back on. They put the underwear back on. Then he's like, you can take the blindfolds off. They take the blindfolds off. And they're like, see, there's a curtain between you and the girls. Your brother would never betray you. And that's a lesson in trust. Okay. A happy ending after all.
Mm.
What the little boys didn't know is that the curtain was very much lifted during the time where they were blindfolded. And of course we saw all their dicks. And of course we let them know directly after the hazing rituals.
And the lesson is trust nobody.
So what's the lesson is trust nobody.
Yeah. Trust no one.
Okay.
So that is the first chapter.
That's chapter one.
That's chapter one of the story. Is this too long?
What's No.
This is great.
What's the benefit of being in one of these? Once you're through the hazing process, why do people want to be in it?
So the defense that they constantly use, my understanding in court, is like the fact that they technically, because they're constantly getting sued. They're why do boys keep dying? And they're like, it's a charity organization because they do like some sort of like a set amount of community service hours. I wonder if it's for legal reasons.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's like they'll do like a charity
like
bake
school.
Sale. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why did I just say
that? Well, because that's a charity. All the public schools are charities, right?
Yeah. Private school. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. In my head, I'm like, a public school in America.
Oh, no.
We're
sorry.
Here.
A
where
private
it's private.
School.
A private public.
Yeah. I don't understand that distinction either.
It's the same.
But public is a confusing word.
Yeah.
Because public is
Yeah,
everybody.
But that's a great way for them to brand themselves as something that doesn't sound like private school.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is smart. Mm. God.
All right, part one.
They're well educated, aren't they, though?
To be fair, Sarah, they would have understood the curtain and the row of chairs. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that I went to a state school.
You should be.
We didn't do chairs. We didn't do chairs there.
We didn't have chairs.
Everyone had a fucking cushion to sit on, and we were lucky if we had that, made of hay. I didn't get a chair till I was 19 years old. And even then, it was a beanbag. Please go on.
So, that's the number. That's the
number
first
one.
Installment of the story.
Okay.
Fast forward, I want to say maybe a year, maybe less. I am once again in the city of Chicago because my family friends are having a wedding and I'm the only family member who's in America at the time. So my family just sends me off as an ambassador to this wedding where I don't know anybody.
Representative of the family.
Yeah. And they sit me at the table of like all the stragglers who they're like, we don't know why you're here. So I'm sitting at this table. Everybody's like super old or super young as an ambassador of my family. Don't know who the people getting married are. And there's a guy next to me sitting there.
Oh, God.
What? You're giving me so much reaction for something that I'm giving you nothing.
I am sorry. That's my nightmare. This is horrible.
Nikki's having a very visceral response.
I am.
You're having to go to a wedding.
I'm having to go to a wedding where you know nobody and then you sat at the step. That's horrendous. But I mean, I know that's not the part of the story.
Yeah, that was my near miss. I almost fucking killed myself. Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Go on.
Olga, you've really lived a life.
Just in this one story.
I can't believe you go through that.
Okay, I'm projecting. Go on.
I'm like, I'm 21 at this point, and I'm sitting next to this guy at this table of stragglers at this wedding where I don't really know anyone. And he is the closest to me in age, which is not to say that he's not my age. He's like 30, maybe like really late 20s. But we're talking because we're the only people who like feasibly have literally anything in common at this table. And as we're talking, there isn't a vibe, to be clear. There is not a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, where'd you go to university? Turns out he went to Northwestern and he was in the same fraternity as the one that I went to the hazing ritual of. So we're bonding. We're talking about Greek life. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
Is this going to be I'd know that dick anyway.
Yeah.
There's no vibe, but yeah, then he takes his penis out.
Yeah, he takes out his dick and you I start laughing. And he recognized my laugh and I recognized his dick and it was beautiful.
And now you're married.
So obviously we're bonding over it. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. I tell him this hysterical story about how I traumatize a bunch of 17-year-old boys. 18? Yeah. Probably 18. And so, again, I don't stand by any of my actions, I would like to say. I was 19 at the time. I'm not proud of it.
I'm not. I think you're fine.
Okay, cool.
That sounds like a regret.
Oh! No, I just don't want to get canceled.
I don't regret it. I just don't want you to judge me for it.
I think you're fine. I feel like I would have done that.
I mean, I don't even want to explore what I should have done.
No, but I mean, like, if someone's like, yeah, you want to come do this thing, and you're like, yeah, I'm trying to have like
an
authentic American college experience. Yeah, of course I want to go participate in your hazing ritual, and then, you know, it's horrible, but you're just going with it. Like,
yeah, and I think it's the whole feel of it in retrospect is like, it's banking so much on never sitting down and actually discussing what it is that you're doing. You're kind of just like, sit down here, okay, people are coming in, okay.
Yeah, you're just ending the whole experience.
Yeah.
You can't underestimate social pressure as well. I mean, one story, it sounds like you saw more dicks in like 30 seconds than I've ever seen in my life. So from like an anthropological point of view, that would have been quite useful for me.
Yes.
Just out of interest. Okay, this has given me a good indication. I don't need to see any more. Put the curtain down. Drop the curtain, I'm done.
Just to be clear, everybody, this is not an invitation to send Sarah some dicks.
Oh, yeah, no, please don't. Yeah, please.
I have photographic memory, don't worry about it. I'll sketch you some. I'll sketch you.
Thank you so much. Finally.
So we're sitting at this table. We're talking a little bit about this fraternity. I'm talking to him about the hazing ritual. We exchange numbers, but again, not in a vibey way at all. In a more of like, we survived this wedding together fun. He lives in New York. I live in New York. That's kind of the end of it. So then a couple of weeks later, he texts me and he's like, do you want to go out for a drink? And I think, fine, sure. I'm not vibing him, but I'm also like, I'll take a free drink. I'm fucking 21.
Yeah.
I'm hot and I'm perky. And so,
yes. Yes. Really wondered where that was going.
Yes.
Didn't see perky coming, but I liked it.
So then I show up to this drink with him. And it's not a drink one-on-one. It is his fraternity reunion. So, I want to say there's 20 dudes there who graduated university 10 years ago, and each of them has a date. And I don't know if they are also random women they met at a wedding, but it was just like, just the sea of people. And I was horrified. I was like, oh my God, why is he still hanging out with people from university?
that's such a good red flag.
So creepy. Like, get a life, man. Also, like, am I the only woman he knows? Like, are all the other women also there as like girlfriends, or are they there as like, what was the brief, bring a girl you met once? Like,
yeah.
The vibes are off.
Did he misunderstand and think you just attend events? You're like a seat filler.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't know anyone here. He's like, oh, okay, I'll get your number.
A very niche service.
Yeah. Like an escort, but without any perks.
No.
Just like
professional
the escort.
Canapé eater.
You need a body in the room, I'll be there.
I recognize some of the other girls who are on the same circuit. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many bar mitzvahs. And so I'm a little shaken because I don't know what this is. And also it's just like really intense to be around so many frat bros. And I'm also just can't get over the fact that they're like all 30 and they're still hanging out together.
Yeah.
So I'm there. I'm reluctantly still hanging out, still being a good sport, and they're like, we're going to an after party. And again, I cannot overcommunicate enough to you. There is no vibe with this guy. There's no vibe. We're not like, there's no body language. We're not grazing hands, nothing.
Yeah.
But I am like, I guess his date. I was going to say ostensibly. I have no idea what that word means, so I'm not going to use it. So we go to this after party that like one of his frat brothers is hosting. And I think, well, we're going to go to a bar or someone's house.
No, sorry.
Yeah.
They're not actually brothers, are they? It just occurred to me.
They just insist on being called that in bed.
Oh, no. Because earlier you were like one of the brothers, and I was like, why would he do this to his brother? Oh, man.
But they do call each other
frat. Okay, I'm keeping up. I'm with you.
Frat bros.
Okay. So late.
There's an after party.
I said the word fraternity maybe 20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. No, I just remembered
that
what that word
was
means.
A really long time ago.
Oh, for God's sake.
For God's sake, Sarah.
When does the a cappella start?
Yeah, and they led me down a dark alley and I had to do a sing-off.
Okay, after party, brothers.
So we show up to the after party. Mm-hmm. It's someone's flat, okay? So we get in the elevator, we get to someone's flat, we open the door, and at that point, I realize that this is not someone's house who people live in. It is a huge, completely empty flat, and the whole floor is just covered in mattresses.
Oh.
And it's only then do like all the cogs start turning in my head. I'm like, this is an orgy.
Oh, no.
And it's like an orgy that is like not sexy, cool, like sex party where people drink champagne. It's like there's mattresses on the floor and there's literally nothing else in this fucking flat.
Everybody bring a woman.
Everybody bring a woman.
We're going to fuck on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Just a layer of mattress floor.
I need to know if they had sheets on.
No! Oh, okay. Sweetie!
Oh, no. Sweetie! I did not think this is
sweetie!
Who's putting the sheets on floor mattresses in the orgy flat?
It's really hard to get
in the orgy house.
Who's doing the laundry? Just one guy.
Oh, Sarah.
I guess that's my near miss moment because I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well. And I just pieced right out of there.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But I pieced right out of there. Yeah, but there is one photo. There's a documentation. Like, they took, at the drinks, they took a really awkward photo of us together. Like,
pre-orgy.
Pre-orgy.
Yeah.
Before and after. Yeah. And so that somewhere out there floating in my tagged Facebook photos is me with this awkwardly, like, you know, like Avril Lavigne meet and greet hover hand with this guy. The pre-orgy.
Oh, my God.
The pre-orgy photo.
The pre-orgy photo. So innocent.
That's so the me clocking the mattresses and piecing out of there is the end of chapter two.
Wall to wall mattresses.
I mean, that is it. An incredible near miss. So if we cannot, I don't even know what part three is going to be, but if we cannot have part three, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that.
I'm really glad.
That was amazing.
You didn't have like a weird bounce party orgy with like...
That's what I feel like you would have walked in there.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, cool! A bounce party! Like, oh my God.
We're playing the floor is lava!
Who brought that one?
Everyone takes their pants off. You're like, I've never seen as many penises! What a day for Sarah.
Hold on a minute. You're not really brothers. Just 10 steps.
Coffee on the floor.
10 steps behind everybody else. This is the weirdest family party I've ever been to.
You guys sure are close. You're Mormon.
Oh, man. I'm really glad you didn't do that.
I'm glad you didn't do that. I'm not saying, you know, I don't want you to have an orgy, but maybe one that you're prepared for.
Not like that. Not
that
like
you
that.
Have
a mattress
to know
orgy on the floor.
An orgy in advance to having an orgy, I think. I don't think, like, you know, you have to have some sense that an orgy might occur.
I think so.
You can't go
think
from thinking
important.
You're having one platonic drink with a man and then having sex with a fool.
With all of his brothers. Yeah.
That are all so much older than you.
So much older. Oh,
they're
God.
All like 10 years older than you. That's so creepy.
But what I just realized, having spoken to you guys about like peer pressure and the importance of keeping it moving, like that's how they get you. When they never address it, sit you down, they never tell you what's happening. They're like, okay, we're going to this location. Then, okay, these are all the people that meet them. Okay, we're going to the after party. Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody get in. And it's like, you never, unless you are really like... something super outside your comfort zone, I can totally see people just saying yes because it's
even the dudes that are involved in that, those poor
especially
guys,
especially if they're rich,
like 10-15 years later going like one of them going, does anybody else think it's weird that we can only fuck on the floor with each other?
That's why they're still friends. Yeah, yeah. That's the only one that they can come.
This is how I know to have sex.
Ever since the curtain, we can only really be naked with each other.
Yeah, the next bit, they were going to be like, can you all laugh now, please?
Someone out there from that fraternity is jerking off to us laughing right now.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. If you ever see a guy 30-ish buying 15 to 20 mattresses in one go.
That's a real giveaway.
Bulk ordering mattresses.
That's a real giveaway.
He's not having a bounce party. Damn it.
Can you imagine if you like work at Casper Mattresses and you're like, oh, another orgy order. Yeah. Is it a hotel? No, private property.
Private
orgy.
That's the thing is like, what strikes me about that story is that they have a dedicated flat for that.
Yeah.
These people are so rich.
Yeah. But also like they're so rich that they have an orgy flat, but not rich enough to have some sheets? Or is it that they just, it doesn't even occur to them?
I think it doesn't occur to them. A bunch of boys?
Just like light a candle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
That was your out.
A good Joe Malone would have changed my mind.
No one stopped you or anything when you were leaving. It wasn't like anyone was like, hello?
No. No one was like creepy about it. They were kind of like, oh, are you sure? Like, do you want an ibuprofen or something like that? But it was like, at no point did I feel like I was forced.
You kind of want that, right? Like, if you were like, I'm going to go, and they were like, bye, you'd be like, come on.
Yeah, I wanted them to be like, do you want an Advil? But I didn't want them to be like, you can't leave.
Yeah, of course. There's a few steps in between. You want somebody to be like, that's come on, spectrum. Stay. And you go, no. And they go, okay.
Yeah, I want them to want to have an orgy with me. Sure. That's where I want to stay forever in their conscience.
You don't want them to be like, we'll call you a cab. That's a
the Uber's already waiting.
That's a really good near miss.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's unlike any story we've had.
Oh, stop it.
Do you have a sliding doors moment to tell us?
I do. I think it's more heartwarming. It's not.
Oh,
yeah, it's
the orgy?
Okay. It's going to be tough.
It's just cute. I think it's just cute.
Let's go cute.
I think. Actually, yeah, I have like two moments that are very, very similar. And the way that I met both my best friend, Gabby, and my best friend, John. Best friend for me, a tear full of so many people. And I love them all very equally.
I have a bit of this.
You being like, in case any of my
other best friends. Yeah, in case Phil or Charlie.
But I have this where I'll say like, oh, they're one of my best friends. And then occasionally people be like, you got a lot of best friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm very warm.
Yeah. I have a lot of love to give.
I like it. I don't mind it at all.
We don't have other tiers as well. You got friends, you got best friends. Where, like, they keep ascending.
Also, friends encompasses like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I think my best friends are just saying like, I just love them and they're really good.
Really,
friends.
Really close friends. Yeah.
And do we have some sexual tension? That's a story for another podcast.
Will we have a mattress orgy?
Maybe, yes.
So I think both ways that I met them were so cinematic in a very subtle way, but also I look back and think like I've been friends with these people for like over 10 years. They're everything to me. They're like family members. And the fact that like if that didn't happen that way, I wouldn't have them in my life. Like, literally almost makes me want to cry. Is this okay?
This is perfect. This is
okay, so I'm gonna try with. So first, my best friend Gabby, who lives in New York City, we were on the first day of an internship at the Museum of Modern Art in New York.
Ooh,
Mama. Mm-hmm. Mama. It was very, very cool. We were both very, very nervous because everybody was very, very cool. And everybody was very cool. Like, imagine, covered in tattoos, piercings, just, like, wearing cool, shapeless clothes. And you can imagine it. And I was absolutely not that. And I was desperate to, like, latch on to anybody. And then I saw this girl who was wearing the coolest shoes I've ever seen in my entire life. And I said, I really like your shoes.
Uggs? I bet it was Uggs.
No, it was like the toe ones. Oh, no. Can you imagine? I said, I really like your shoes. And that moment, we spent every single day of that internship together. We had lunch together. Like, and now she lives in New York. I live in London. We meet every single New Year's Eve in a new location around the world. And then we spend New Year's Eve together. Yeah. So like we really committed to being friends with each other so hard. And even though we don't live in the same place. But the serendipitous moment there being like that morning, she didn't know what to wear because she was so nervous for this internship. So she begged her sister to borrow her shoes.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
She's got shit fucking shoes.
She has terrible taste in shoes.
Sorry,
what were the shoes? Describe.
I wish I fucking remembered. Oh. I think they were boots.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Sorry. There's no. Maybe I can text her.
Please. What were the shoes? Do you want to do that one again? Come back in.
I think there was like some sort of crocodile skin patent leather element to it where I was like, ooh, shoes. Cool. Mm-hmm.
That's really nice.
I love this one.
To this day, she's like, thank God I asked Martine for those shoes.
Aww. I know this is the premise of the podcast, but you do think about that shit all the time where you're like, oh, like if you just maybe started, if you'd done an internship like a month later or like something just hadn't happened, you weren't in the same place, she wore the different shoes. Like,
yeah, she wore her regular shoes.
She wore her, she dressed like herself.
You never talked to her.
And you're like, and that person is just so significant in your life.
Yeah.
It's so lovely. What's she doing now?
She works for Adobe.
Oh,
yeah. She's making cash. You got to support the habit of going around the world for New Year's Eve. Yeah, went to New Zealand this year.
Ooh,
yeah.
Very nice. Where you going next year?
Yeah.
What a life.
What's next year?
Next year, I think Thailand. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Oh, we want to go somewhere warm. We've done cold New Year's for too long. We've done like Toronto at New Year's. Don't do Toronto for New Year's. Why would you do that?
Oh, no. Is that a hazing ritual?
Yeah, like landing in Canada in January.
That is a mistake. Yeah. That is a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's really nice. And your other friend?
With John, it's a similar vibe of a story, but I was... So I had two tickets to go see Hannibal Buress in New York, who's a stand-up comedian.
Mm. I love Hannibal.
He's great. Is it Buress? Buress?
Whichever one.
Hannibal. Yeah. But it's really,
I love both of them.
It's really funny because in my phone to this day, Gabby is saved as Gabby MoMA and John is still saved as John Hannibal.
Aww.
So those, they're their last names forever, for eternity. So I was out and about with my friend Angelo. And Angelo and I had two tickets for me and Angelo to go to see Hannibal Buress. And we were having coffee, and Angela was like, I just met this girl, and I like her so much, and she's so great, but I just met her. And he was texting her, but he was like so completely in love with this girl. And he was like, I'm so excited to hang out with her again, to see her again. And then they were texting, and it turned out that she was free that night. And I was like, you know what? Take both tickets. Like, take her out on this date because you're so clearly in love with her and you want to spend so much time with her. And it's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Take the two tickets. And she was, like, around. I met her. They ended up dating for years. And it's like, that was, like, their first official date. And I gave them the tickets. And I was like, oh, but I really want to see Hannibal. And there was this guy called John outside the theater being like, my friend's not here. I'm selling my second ticket. And me and John ended up sitting together. And now we're best friends. We've been friends for a decade now.
What? That is so cute.
And I think about it all the time because it's like we sat down and it's like I was moving for a job to the UK very shortly and he was born in the UK but was living in New York and we just bonded immediately. I don't know if anybody.
And is he British?
He's British in that he was born in the UK.
Yeah.
But he spent most of his life in America. So I don't know.
We went to an American college.
Yeah.
Was he in a fraternity?
No, he went to McGill in Montreal.
I was just looking at these two parallel stories because you're like, on one occasion, you sat next to a man at a wedding. He tried to have an orgy with you. On this other occasion, you sat next to a man at a gig and he became your best friend for life.
He's my best friend for life.
And the biggest difference is that he wasn't in a fraternity.
Yeah, fraternities are evil. Yeah. Fraternities are evil.
100%.
That's really nice.
But I love these stories.
So which one do you think is like your best friend?
Yeah, let's do it.
But I just think that I don't want to speak for other people. I think a lot of the time you think of friends as people like you go to school with all the time or co-workers or people who you spend a lot of time with and then grow into friendships. And yes.
You had two lightning strikes.
I had two lightning strikes. Because other people who I consider best friends are people like I worked with or went to school with, and it was sort of like a low and slow.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then both of those meetings feel like romantic comedies to me.
They are. They 100% are.
And
I really love stories like that.
Yeah.
I met two women at a music festival once, and they were running a stall together, and I was like, oh, how did you guys meet? And they were like, we met at a yoga class because they were paired together. But they were like just two strangers. They got paired up at this yoga class when they were like in their 30s. And as they were like chatting, one of them was like, hold on a minute. Were you in Thailand on a beach like 7 years ago?
What?
And this other one was like, yeah. And she was in the background of one of her holiday photos.
Stop. Yeah.
And now they're like best friends and they run a business together.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
They were good fun. They were high as fuck. Yeah. It could have been a lie.
The whole story. Yeah.
It was amazing.
Sounds oh my so God.
Cool. I'm not friends with them.
I need to be in the background of more photos. Yeah. That's my goal. That's my New Year's resolution.
It happened with me with a friend of mine at uni. Not as much of a coincidence, but my Dave, who produced this
we
podcast.
We do not speak his name.
We do. R.I.P. Dave. Dave.
I'm kidding.
Dave produced
the worst. Damn, what did he do?
No, he was
orgy again.
No, he was expensive.
He was too expensive. We couldn't afford him, but he was the loveliest person.
But before I met Dave at uni,
yeah,
he was in the background of one of my photos at the Edinburgh Fringe when I was like 16, and he was like doing comedy there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's like, I've got this photo of me like flyering a child, and then Dave's just walking around in the background.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
And it's a shame that he's dead to me now.
Yeah. Mm. By the way, you've dressed really... Bless you.
Sorry.
You've dressed incredibly on theme for August Stories.
New York City, baby.
A New York City.
Oh, I don't know. Have I mentioned that I lived in New York City? I don't know. I don't know if we were clear about that.
Yeah, and I got my fraternity cap on. Yeah.
So you've been sitting on a keg this entire time.
Yeah. And I got my penis out. I like to preempt what's going to happen.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming
thank
to
so
do
much.
This.
I hope that was okay.
That was
brilliant.
The best.
Yeah, really,
everyone's
really
always
good.
So worried about their stories. This is amazing.
Yeah, you fit the brief perfectly.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And please, if you take anything away from this episode, never, ever, ever join a fraternity or sorority.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it.
Hey, do you want to tell people where they can find you? And do you have anything to plug?
Plug.
If you're free tonight,
this will come out next week.
No, I understand.
Sorry.
You can follow me on Instagram at Colga300.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on TikTok at Colga300. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rock'n'Rollga.
Oh, love that one.
Mm-hmm. Rock'n'Rollga is a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm sad it's taken on the other platform.
Mm.
The girl who owns it tried to sell it to me, and I said, I'm not buying it.
No.
That is so
I'm
shady.
Not buying
it. Yeah, that's super shady.
No, you can keep it.
And you're going on a big tour?
No. Oh, I am. Am I?
Yeah, aren't you going
to? Oh, I was going on. I just completed a tour of the UK and Ireland.
Yes.
But I am going to India, Australia, and New Zealand.
So if you live,
if you
turns out Mickey's your agent.
If you live in Mumbai, Sydney, Perth, Wellington, or Auckland.
Yes.
Let's party.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's super exciting.
That's great. Oh, good stuff. And you have a radio show, yeah?
I do. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're like your mom.
I should know this.
We're
like
fans.
Your parents.
I should know this. Also, the second season of my award-nominated radio show, OK Computer, is coming out soon.
Brilliant.
Fabulous.
Thanks very much, Olga.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Goodbye.
Yay.
That was Olga Cock.
Olga Cock, everybody.
Olga Cock, everybody.
Cock.
Cock.
Cock. Cock. That must get really old for her, actually.
That's why we did it when she's left.
Yes.
We waited to
Olga, if you're
listening, chant cock until she'd left. Out of respect.
Out of respect. Some great sort of wild life she's led.
She's led such a wild life. It's such a lovely thing for a comedian, must be, to just have just so many experiences.
So many different stories, different cities, the amount of cities. I think she mentioned more cities during the show than I've ever been to.
Yeah.
More penises and more cities.
Yeah.
God, she's really lived.
She's really lived.
That was brilliant. Really
that was amazing. Should we thank people?
Let's thank people.
Thank you. Thanks, people.
Guys, thank you so much for listening.
I mean, you're amazing.
We love you so much. We appreciate your... It's really exciting to see this podcast grow. We're feeling really, really...
It's so nice.
...proud of ourselves.
When you send us messages and comments and stuff, we it warms up. We send it to each other. We're so lame.
We're really sad, actually. And you can make our day with just a little message.
Yeah, you really can.
We appreciate it. And we are noticing it. So thank you so much. It's real nice. A friend of mine, actually, maybe I'll just say a little hello to her, because a friend of mine had her baby in, I think, in January.
Hello, baby.
But she had her baby 11 weeks premature.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they're doing okay. But she says that because they're still in hospital and they listen to our podcast together at night.
Oh, my God. This warms my heart.
Yeah. So hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. Yeah. Is Terry friend or baby?
Terry's the friend. And the
baby's
called Mason.
Aw. Hi, Terry. Hi, Mason.
I love Mason.
Cute name, isn't it?
Stealing it.
Yeah, having that. Yoink. But yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for listening. Please come to Sarah and I's shows. News. And is your tour ended?
My tour is over, yeah, this week. So cut that out. Okay. Fuck it.
But new shows.
We're doing work in progress shows.
Doing work in progress shows together.
We are.
Come to those.
Joining forces.
We're joining forces, and both of us are doing lots. So just go on our social media. And
follow on social media.
And come check it out. So yeah, please come to those. And that's it, I think.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, man, we appreciate you listening.
And your ears.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth and produced by Lucas Jeffcoat, with music from Ben Kavanagh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.